It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The war in Afghanistan has been the longest war the United States has ever been involved in. There is the human cost of war, the toll it has taken on our fighting men and women and their families, and then there is all the money that has been spent, some would say wasted, on Afghanistan's reconstruction. And you and I, the taxpayers, are paying those costs. There is, however, an individual whose job it is to protect our interests. His name is John Sopko, and he is the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. Mr. Sopko is in Pittsburgh to deliver an address called An Existential Threat, U.S. Oversight of and Responses to Corruption in Afghanistan, on the Pitt campus tomorrow. He joins me now in studio. John Sopko, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You can join the conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. John Sopko, how much have the U.S. taxpayers already invested in Afghanistan?
Well, a significant amount. We've spent over $113 billion, that's with a B, dollars on reconstruction up to now. And just to put it in context for your listeners, that's more money than we spent on the entire Marshall Plan to rebuild Europe after World War II.
That's incredible.
It's a lot of money.
Why is Afghanistan still important?
Well, it's important for national security reasons. We went in there because 15 years ago, the attackers came and attacked the United States, and we went in there to make certain they got kicked out, and a government was created that would keep the bad guys out, and so we've been helping them since 9-1-1.
I want to get into some of the questions arising over the scheduled withdrawal of the 10,000 troops we still have there by the end of next year and some of that, but let's look at the money right now. What are we spending right now per year in Afghanistan?
Well, we're spending on the average for reconstruction alone about $4 to $6 billion a year, and that's on paying the salaries, on building roads, clinics, hospitals, and supporting the Afghan troops, buying them the bullets, the guns, the fuel, the food to help fight the insurgency.
Your job, as I understand it, is to be the bearer of bad news, in a sense, when you report to President Obama, who appointed you to this position. How much of our money are you telling him is being wasted in Afghanistan, and how much of that has to do with things like corruption?
Well, a lot of it has to do with corruption. We don't have an exact figure of how much has been wasted. All I say is it's been billions.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of money, and it's too much money was wasted. And what we're trying to do is point out the problems so that if we do this again and we continue, remember, we've made a commitment for at least another decade to help the Afghans. So we'll be there for 10 years so we can try to learn from our mistakes as well as some of our successes in Afghanistan. So that's what my job basically is, to expose the problems, do the audits, do the investigations, and if we catch people stealing money from us, to prosecute them. And we prosecuted a couple hundred people for stealing money from the reconstruction efforts.
How does that happen? For example, when you look into how our money is spent in Afghanistan, what are you looking for, and who are you finding that is stealing the money, and what are they responsible for?
Well, it could be a contracting officer. It could be somebody who was supposed to monitor and evaluate a program, and they didn't. We found everything from stolen fuel to stolen food to buildings that weren't built. And we tried to track those contractors down. Now, this is very difficult to do because, remember, we're doing investigations in a war zone. Many of these people are actually beyond our criminal jurisdiction because we'd have to go in Afghan courts to prosecute these people, and we don't really have a viable judicial system in Afghanistan. So we try to get them back here, and if we can, we prosecute them here.
So you are not necessarily able to do all the inspections that you feel are necessary because some of those areas are in are are controlled by, would it be the Taliban?
The insurgency. They're not safe. And it's not just us. It's anybody working out of the embassy has a hard time getting around. So most of the country is not now open to us civilians to get around to inspect and to investigate.
So what kind of documents are you looking at? What are you, if especially if you can't get physically to a certain area, I'm guessing you're looking through records. So what jumps out at you that says, oh, here's a guy stealing food, or here's a guy that, you know, here's $300,000 that isn't accounted for?
Well, a lot of it is informant information. We still have informants, either Afghan or Americans, who would tell us to look at these contracts. These people don't exist. This contract didn't exist, or this building wasn't built to specifications. So we can still try to get out there. And we're using some well-trained and brave Afghans to help us. They become our eyes and ears in trying to get out there.
412-246-2002, if you'd like to join our conversation with our guest, John Sopko, who is the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction in Pittsburgh, to deliver a presentation and address at Pitt tomorrow, which we'll talk about. Right now, let's go to the phones at 412-246-2002. We have Brian in Washington. I'm assuming that's Washington County. Hi, Brian. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. Yeah, my question was, is part of the problem with rebuilding that we put a Western template onto a country that wasn't prepared with infrastructure, culture, or history to implement a Western government? Thank you.
Brian, that's a very good point. I think we did make some mistakes on that. We tried to turn Afghanistan into a little America. We built to some standards the Afghans are never going to be able to meet. So I think you've identified a problem that we've identified, and it's poor planning. Sort of imposing systems on the Afghans that are foreign to them and they're not going to be able to sustain. It's like building a hospital that once we leave, they can't afford to get the fuel to support it, to support the infrastructure. So it's a good point, Brian.
You're talking about how the costs that have been incurred here surpassed those of the Marshall Plan, which was a plan that was brilliantly envisioned and executed. The vision for Afghanistan, where did that come from? Who said we've got to remake Afghanistan in our own image?
Well, we haven't found one document that has said that, but from talking to people, I just don't think people had a really good strategy in mind, or is this things change, strategy changes. I mean, some people joke and say, you know, we fought the same war in Afghanistan. We've been there for 15 years. It's the same war 15 times. And it's the issue on reconstruction. We just weren't thinking when we started pouring too much money into too small a country, too fast, with too little oversight. And when you do that, you're going to get fraud, waste, and abuse. And that's what we see here over and over again.
What made you want to do this job? When Obama called you and said, okay, look, John, I want you to go to Afghanistan. You're going to be the guy who's going to, you know, be the whistleblower here.
Well, when the White House calls you, you usually return the call. I mean, it's a great honor to work for the administration in a position like this. It's something that it's a challenge, but it's also something that I have been involved in overall for years. I mean, I started as a federal prosecutor, but for the last almost 25 years, I was in Washington working in Congress for Senator Sam Nunn and John Dingell on the House side and others doing oversight over government agencies. And this really boils down to oversight over government agencies, and it's something I've been working on. And a lot of the problems we see in Afghanistan are not unique to Afghanistan. They're problems with the way our government contracts, the way our government procures things, rewards employees, doesn't punish employees for waste, rotates troops in. Some of the problems we're identifying are problems have been with the U.S. government for years. I mean, we've had a problem on rotating troops since the Second World War, and we've never fixed that problem. People come in, they serve 6 month or short tours. They never really understand what's going on, and they come out. Procurement. I keep reminding people that DOD procurement has been a problem for years. It's been on the GAO government accounting office is high risk list since 1991. So the problems I'm seeing with procurement are problems that have been identified with DOD procurement here in the United States since 1991, if not before. So this was a challenge to try to fix things in Afghanistan, improve things in Afghanistan, but it's also a bigger challenge that the problems we're identifying, hopefully people will say, well, we need to fix something else in the government. So we're hoping people will follow up on that.
Well, an example of a problem or something that would raise a red flag is I've read that the United States spent half a billion dollars buying planes for Afghanistan that the Afghans can't use. What happened there?
Well, you're absolutely correct. Those are the G-222s. There were airplanes that were purchased out of an Italian boneyard. These were old planes, were refurbished, and were supposed to be used for the Afghans, and it turns out these were the wrong planes. They were not well refurbished, not well maintained. We don't know that. We don't know the answer to that. We have an ongoing criminal investigation. This is beyond just an audit. It's an ongoing criminal investigation to see. There may have been something beyond just waste and a mistake.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm just trying to, just sort of paint a picture for people. Is a military advisor saying the Afghans need these planes? Are the Afghans themselves saying we need these planes? Like, who's deciding that they need this stuff?
Well, the Afghans, in conjunction working with us, come up with a need. There's a need for this type of short-haul airplane. But then deciding what kind of airplane, what kind of airframe, and where to purchase it was made by a number of people, and I really can't go into the detail on. We're trying to identify who they are and why they made their decision. But in this case, there may be more than just incompetency here, and that's what we're looking at. Mm. But basically, the planes have been referred to us by pilots who flew them in as death traps. One of the planes it was landing, parts fell off of it. And this was supposed to have been refurbished over in Italy before the plane came to the United States. It came to Afghanistan. And the irony is that the planes were sitting there on the tarmac at the Afghan, the Kabul International Airport for years. And finally, I saw it and I said, what are those planes doing over there? There's trees growing through them. And it turned out we started checking it out, and we discovered that the planes were being destroyed, and they finally were turned into scrap metal. We got 3 cents on the dollar for our investment.
Wow. After U.S. forces pulled out of Iraq, the Islamic State fighters moved in, and Iraq's security forces all but collapsed, and we all know that story. Some fear that the same thing could happen when U.S. forces, some 10,000 troops still there, when they leave Afghanistan, as they are scheduled to do at the end of next year. In your opinion, should we keep those troops in Afghanistan?
Well, that's a little bit beyond my bailiwick, my authority. Yeah.
From a cost effectiveness standpoint, we're keeping those guys over there. Based on what you've seen, are they propping up the Afghanistan, the Afghan security forces? If they left, could the Afghan forces stand on their own?
Probably not. They are helping the Afghans. That's very true because, they're not only doing a counterterrorism mission, but they're also doing a training, advising, and assisting mission. And so the exact number and how long they should stay is really beyond even my expertise and my office's expertise. So that's why I defer to the new general, John Nicholson, who was just appointed. He's doing a 90-day review right now to determine their needs and how much they need to stay. So I'll defer to him on that.
Very well. We've got about a minute left. Let's work in one last quick phone call from Greg in the North Hills. Hi, Greg. We're pressed for time.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I'm calling
because
I had read about the $43 million that was spent on a gas station. I wrote to my congressman, Keith Rofus, and have not heard back from him regarding that. So I'm wondering who made such a decision, $43 million. We need things in Flint, for instance, but $43 million for a gas station in Afghanistan. Thank you.
Greg, interesting question. What was, in fact, $43 million spent on a gas station?
Well, among millions of dollars more, there was money spent to transport rare white Italian goats, about $6 million on that, to Afghanistan in a program. We're trying to track that down. We've actually been asked by Senator Ayotte and McCaskill and Senator Grassley to do a full-blown audit. This was one of these programs where I think it got out of hand. We don't know if it was criminality. We do have some criminal investigations, but it was just poor planning, poor designing, and poor oversight for this program. So we're trying to get to the bottom of that right now.
One last question for you in the 45 seconds or so we have left. What is the main thing that you want to get across tomorrow in your address at Pitt?
What the address is that Afghanistan is still important. It's a national security importance, and we can't ignore it. And I think everybody should keep that in mind.
Is that your phone?
Yes, that was my phone.
I just wanted to let people know that there's not a train that is coming through the studio at this point.
I apologize for that. Yeah.
But Afghan, you want people to know that it's important to our security. I mean, is it going to be a situation where if we leave, that if we desert Afghanistan, an ISIS-like entity would move in there?
Something like that could happen. Remember, we've invested not only money but lives, 2,200 lives in there. It's an important thing to keep in mind. It's still very important for our national security.
John Sopko is the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. Mr. Sopko is in Pittsburgh to deliver an address called An Existential Threat, U.S. Oversight of and Responses to Corruption in Afghanistan on the Pitt campus tomorrow. Mr. Sopko, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Tomorrow, we bring you a special edition of Essential Pittsburgh, a forum produced in conjunction with the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh, Understanding Islam, Voices from Pittsburgh. Again, a special forum, Understanding Islam, Voices from Pittsburgh, airing in this time slot at noon and then again at 8 p.m. tomorrow. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.